You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hello and welcome into the Pick'em Pod from the Block M Podcast Network as we are rolling into week 7 of the college football season, just over the halfway point, going far too quickly if you ask me, but some great games on the docket here this week. Luke Ghiardi along with Von Lozond and Dan Plucker. As we get into this week's action, we'll have 8 games to pick against the spread odds via DraftKings Sportsbook. Before we do that, let's take a look at where we had last week. Vaughn coming away with the winning week, going 5-3, getting a game back on both Dan and I, who both went 4-4 a week ago. The overall record as it stands, I still lead the way by a short margin at 29-22-2. Dan closely behind at 28-23-2. And now Vaughn with the nice winning week, 26-25-2. 3 games back from me, 2 games back from Dan. Vaughn, nice week last week, man, coming away with a big winning week.
I needed it. I've had a couple clunker weeks there, 5-3. You know, it's not perfect. It's not even great. But compared to where I was at the last few weeks, I will certainly take that because I certainly went out on a limb with a few of my picks too. And it panned out. Alabama was able to sneak out a dub, and that kind of helped me in the standings here. So I'm looking forward to another good week. How are you doing this week, Dan?
Yeah, feeling good. I mean, I'm the king of 500, I think. It's back-to-back weeks, and like 4 out of the 6 weeks that we've been doing this, I've gone 500. So if you wanted to lose minimal money and bet with me, that's great. well, to be fair, I mean, I do have a winning record, so you're going to make money. And I gave you the Oklahoma money line last week, which I felt really good about, and the under in that Syracuse-North Carolina game. So you're probably up a few units if you're listening to me.
Yeah, man. 4-4, just like you, Dan. A nice little 500. Last 2 weeks, I went 4-4. Thank God for Michigan covering there. But it's been kind of the Wild West. Maryland not covering is the most mind-blowing thing that I've ever... Like, that entirely flipped the week for you and I and for Vaughn, who was the only one on Ohio State. Mike Locksley absolutely had to have known, he had to have had some money down on Ohio State, because that was just unbelievable clock management late from him in that ball game. Just mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of unfortunate for you guys, for sure. I part of me kind of felt bad for both of you when that happened, but then I was like, I got the point. I can't feel
too
bad.
You were like, would they feel bad for me?
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, would Luke and Dan feel the exact same way about me? Probably not. Those rat bastards. So I'm okay. All good with the win.
Oh, man. So we got some great games coming up here this week, man. There are some short spreads. This is going to be an awesome, awesome week. Second biggest spread on the board. That's where we're going to start. It's in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten West, and potentially a de facto Big Ten West championship game here. Iowa visiting Camp Randall in Madison, where the Wisconsin Badgers are 10-point favorites. We'll start with last week's winner, Vaughn.
Yeah, this is, like you said, Luke, one of the bigger point spreads on the board for us this week, and the next one that is in the double digits is tripled this, so stay tuned for that. For this one, I am going to roll with Iowa plus 10. I just feel like 10 is a lot of points for Wisconsin, or I guess either of these teams, to cover, especially, like you said, such a crucial game for the Big Ten West standings. I expect Wisconsin to win the game, but I also expect this to be kind of a tightly contested game just because of how strong their defenses are. Wisconsin's run defense has been very strong. On the other side, Iowa's pass defense is still one of the better in the nation. Iowa still owns the number one ranked defense according to SP Plus. And there is going to be some rain in the forecast in a lot of these Midwest games on Saturday. It's going to be in the low to mid 50s, rain in the forecast. So this is Big Ten football weather at its finest. So I will take Iowa to cover, Wisconsin to win outright, and probably hit on the under, which last I checked was 36.5. I don't know if that's incredibly updated as of this point, but a very low number. I'd look to hit the under as well.
Dan, how about you, man?
Yeah, the last time Iowa won this game in Madison was in 2015, so that gives me a little bit of worry, but this Wisconsin team is much different than years past, now that Luke Fickell has kind of taken over and running things a much different way. As a home favorite this year, they're 1-2 against the spread, and they have that same mark against Big Ten opponents. Rutgers had that backdoor cover last week. And it feels like Wisconsin is a team like Michigan a little bit that takes their foot off the gas pedal once they have a big lead and they kind of just run the clock out. So that's why I can imagine this game being a little bit tighter than that 10-point mark. I get it. The Iowa offense is putrid. They're on their second quarterback now with Deacon Hill, who actually was recruited by this Wisconsin team. He's only completing 37.5% of his passes, though. That's a little bit worrisome. But this defense continues to be the thing that carries the team. They're 3-2-1 against the spread this season. They're 2-1 against the spread in their last two games of this rivalry. So, yeah, I'm going to ride with Iowa and the points here, plus 10. I'll take the Hawkeyes.
It is real, Luke. Live over under, real quick. 34.5 now. So it's just going down. So I don't know if that changes your thoughts, but
yeah, it is absolutely terrifying to take a team to cover double digits with a total that low, but I'm going to, because again, I am a psychopath. I've got the Badgers covering 10. Iowa, obviously, they lost Cade McNamara, but this offense, even with Cade, once they lost their best tight end in Lackey, this offense has been just absolutely horrendous. I mean, just an affront to football, to be quite honest with you. 291 total yards against Purdue last week. Purdue ranked 63rd in defensive SP Plus. They couldn't even gain 300 yards. 222 against Michigan State the week before. Wisconsin comes in a top 16 defense at number 16 in defensive SP Plus. And I think Wisconsin the last 2 weeks really has looked a lot better offensively. That was a decent Rutgers team that they were able to put up some points against last week. 358 yards is what they put up. I think they'll be able to move the ball on this Iowa defense and tire them out, because I don't think Iowa is going to be able to do much of anything against this Wisconsin defense. I think it's going to look very similar to that Iowa Penn State game from a few weeks back. So I like Wisconsin to cover the 10 in Camp Randall here this week. From the Big Ten, let's head out west. Number 18, UCLA traveling to Oregon State, and the Beavers 3.5-point favorites, Dan.
Yeah, UCLA is coming off that big win at home against Washington State, one that we kind of called, I think, on this pod last week. I think two of the three of us had it. Maybe all three of us had UCLA winning that one. But it just feels like they're back on track a little bit. Oregon State's defense struggled last week against a terrible Cal team. And the one won them the game really was DJ Uiagalelei. He played the best game of his career, 5 touchdowns. They had 52 points to crush that over, 92 total in the game, which just is absurd. But what I'm doing here is I'm riding with the Pac-12 teams at home against the spread. I looked back throughout the course of this podcast. We've covered a lot of these big games in the Pac-12. 6-0 is the home team against the spread. So that's why I'm going to go with Oregon State over UCLA and lay the points here at 3.5.
Vaughn, how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oregon State to cover the spread as well. The Pac-12 has been kind of weird this year with some of these middle of the pack teams. I thought a couple weeks ago that Utah nice would beat UCLA. Yeah. I thought Utah would beat UCLA a few weeks back. They didn't. And then last week I was on Washington State to beat UCLA as an underdog. They didn't. So kind of like what Dan said with the home teams being favored in the Pac-12 this season, I'm just going to roll with it. I'm not super confident in this one. I haven't really been confident in many of these Pac-12 games this year. So I'm just going to go with the home team. That is the favorite this week and go with Oregon State.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I like Oregon State as well here at home, cover the 3.5. And most of it is the fact that I still don't yet trust Dante Moore in a road game in a big game, right? We saw the lights being a little bright for him when they went over to Utah. I think it's going to be more of the same here. And I think he's really had some growing pains the last two games, that Utah game. And then even last week in the win against Washington State, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, one of those being a pick 6. Oregon State, good at home, multi-touchdown wins against both Utah and San Diego State. And at the end of the day, these are pretty evenly matched teams. I'm going to go with the experienced quarterback over the true freshman and take the Beavers in Corvallis to cover the 3.5. As we head down to Knoxville, battle in the SEC, Texas A&M traveling to number 19, Tennessee. 3-point favorites. They're going to be singing Rocky Top on Saturday night, Vaughn.
I liked this point spread a lot more when it was 3.5. But I'm still going to go at Texas A&M to cover the 3 points. Man, I mean, they gave Alabama all they could last week. And I think they're about to do the same this weekend against Tennessee. And I don't think Tennessee is in that same caliber as Alabama. I think Tennessee is one of those fake teams this season. A&M's top tier pass defense gives me a little bit of hope in this one. They give up just 185 pass yards a game, and they got an even better rush defense, number 8 against the run. They give up just 84 yards per game rushing. So this is going to be the biggest test by far for Joe Milton. He threw two picks 2 weeks ago against the number 126 pass defense in America in the South Carolina Gamecocks. So I'm really not confident in Joe Milton this season whatsoever. I have not been on that bandwagon since the 2020 season here in Ann Arbor. So I like A&M to, at the very least, cover the spread, possibly upset Tennessee at home.
Dan, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, Texas A&M struggled in that second half against Alabama, especially their offensive line. I mean, it feels like the quarterback couldn't stay upright. Max Johnson was just struggling for that whole second half. And now they have to go into a hostile environment at Rocky Top, like we said, against Tennessee. You know, the Vols have looked a lot better at home since that loss to Florida in Gainesville. They crushed South Carolina. I know that Milton had a couple picks, but that was a team that kept up with Georgia on the road a few weeks ago in Athens. And A&M, 0-7 straight up in their last seven road games, 1-6 against the spread in that time frame. These are the number 13 and number 14 teams in the S&P Plus rankings. And, you know, Texas A&M's only other road game this season was a loss to Miami early on. I put Tennessee kind of right in that same conversation of where those teams rank in my eyes. So I think that Tennessee will cover at home in this contest, and I'll lay the 3 points with them.
Very similar to you, Vaughn, man. I was very excited to get outside of the key of three, but I'm still going to roll with the Aggies at three. It is at the key number, which I like it. And like Dan just mentioned, two very even teams, A&M at number 13, Tennessee at number 14, and SP Plus separated by 0.3 points within that metric. So when they're this evenly matched, I know it's a road team, but this is, I still think, a very talented A&M team. Had the lead on Alabama in that game 17-10 before kind of falling apart late, which Alabama tends to be able to do to teams. I don't know Tennessee is of that caliber, and I'm going to roll with the Aggies on the road, grabbing those points. Back to the Big Ten, where we've got Michigan State coming off the bye week. They're traveling up to Piscataway, and Rutgers, a 5-point favorite at home, Dan.
Yeah, bet the under. And make sure that you're paying attention to the weather in this game, because heavy rain's expected, 91% chance of rain in the morning with 30 to 35 mile per hour wind gusts, almost an inch expected, pooling, flooding expected in the area. I mean, there's a chance that this game is a torrential downpour. And I think that that gives Rutgers a huge advantage. I think that their defense is more physical, forces more turnovers than the Michigan State side. Obviously, Gavin Wimsatt is really talented at quarterback running the football and wants to run the football. Comparatively, Michigan State has one good rusher right now, and that's Nathan Carter, 5.1 yards per carry this season. Ran for over 100 yards last week against Iowa, but they can't count on him for the entire game, and the rest of the Michigan State running backs are nowhere near as efficient. Jalen Berger ran for 3.2 yards per carry this season. Noah Kim is at 2, and the team overall is only at 3.8, so it shows you how much worse they are overall with as a rushing team without Nathan Carter. He can't get 60 carries in this game. So Rutgers, I think they're set up for a game like this. Although these teams are number 59 and number 58 in S&P Plus rankings, we have a lot of those back-to-back for the S&P Plus this week. Give me Rutgers at home in this bad weather. And I think the under was at over-under was at 40.5 the last time I checked. I would ride with that as well. With the under,
Vaughn, how do you see it, man?
Live odds here again. The over under is at 39.5. So it is under 40 at this point, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, definitely look out for the weather in this one. I might be crazy, but I'm going to roll with the Spartans here. And as bad as they have been this season, the one thing that they can kind of hang their hat on is that Rutgers has attacked opponents all season with their rush attack, and MSU's surprisingly got a pretty good run defense, number 34 in the country right now. They only give up a buck 15 on the ground a game, and they've only allowed two rushing touchdowns all season, which is better than teams like Washington, North Carolina, and even Rutgers on the other side of the field here. Gavin Wimsatt, he has looked like an improved player this season. He despite all the weather, I feel like Michigan State's going to be able to hang around defensively just because Rutgers, the good part of their offense is the good part of Michigan State's defense. So I really think this is going to be a low scoring game. I don't know if State wins, but I do think that they keep it a little bit closer than this 5-point spread here. So give me the Spartans in Piscataway to cover the spread.
Yeah, when I was coming up with my notes earlier today, this game was still at 5.5 on DraftKings, and I'm rolling with Michigan State because this game opened at 5.5. I know it's down to 5 now, but it is painted everywhere else at 4.5. So my thought process was I'm gaining an extra point of value. Now I'm gaining an extra half point of value rolling with Michigan State, considering it's moved to 4.5 everywhere else. As Dan mentioned, Rutgers coming in number 58 SP plus, Michigan State number 59, separated by 0.2 points in the metric. MSU, I actually think the weather is going to favor MSU a little bit. In the fact that they just tote the better defense, come in number 29 in defensive SP plus, where at Rutgers is number 40. Outside of that key number of three, though, if it's raining and windy like that, field goals might not be a thing regardless. But I'm going to go ahead and grab the points when the total is down, the weather's that bad, and these teams are evenly matched quite like this. I'm going to roll with Sparty here to cover the 5 on the road. As we head to the ACC, number 25 Miami, coming off one of the dumbest losses you'll ever see in a football game. They're traveling to Chapel Hill to take on number 12 UNC, 3.5-point favorites coming off the dismantling of Syracuse a week ago, Vaughn.
Yeah, that crystal ball thing is so bad, man. Last week with that loss, not kneeling. That's the second time in his career that that's happened. Just reminds me of that George Bush quote from back in the day. Like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, we won't get fooled again. It's like, come on, man. Like, we can't be doing this again. So because of all of that, I would have picked North Carolina regardless, but I'm going to roll with the Tar Heels here. They absolutely dismantled Syracuse at home last week. I thought Syracuse would hang around, and it was not even close that entire game. I just kept flipping back and forth between that game, and I think it was the Bama A&M game at that time. And I was like, why am I even changing the channel? I don't even need to watch this. You know, they've got a clear advantage across the board offensively, and I think their defense is going to be able to hang with Tyler Van Dyke and the guys that Miami has on offense. So yeah, I'm gonna roll with UNC to cover the spread pretty easily here.
How about you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm riding with the Tar Heels as well. North Carolina's won the last 4 times these two teams have met, and Miami is coming off of one of the most embarrassing losses of all time. All of social media is absolutely dragging them right now. They played like crap against the worst team in the ACC in Georgia Tech. Tyler Van Dyke threw 3 picks. Plus, this is just their second road game of the season, and it's coming against maybe the best quarterback in the conference and one of the best in college football. The only other road game they had was against an awful Temple squad. I don't think that they're ready for this. I think Chapel Hill is going to be rocking because it's a top 25 opponent, even though Miami probably shouldn't be ranked after what they did last week. Miami's 2-6 in their last 8 games against UNC against the spread, and they're 1-8 in their last 9 against ACC opponents ATS. I'm putting at least 2 units on North Carolina to win this game on Saturday by the 3.5.
I'm going to roll the other way here. I like the Hurricanes to cover the 3.5 here. Look, I'll preface it by saying Mario Cristobal is an idiot, but he does have a good team. And this is another one of those back-to-backs that Dan talked about. Miami, number 17 in SP+. UNC is at number 18. What I found, though, is that Miami is number 7 in the country in net yards per play at 2.5. That means their yards per play throughout the year, 2.5 yards better than what they allow the opposing team's offense. So that is a huge factor here. And quite honestly, this is far and away the best defense that Drake May and this UNC offense has faced. And I think that loss last week actually works in Miami's favor. They're going to be pissed off. They're going to be focused. They are going to be out to right a wrong and prove to people that they're not totally incompetent and still a good football team. So I'm rolling with the Hurricanes to cover 3.5 here this week. And we head to a great non-conference matchup and a great rivalry as number 10 USC headed to South Bend to take on number 21 Notre Dame and a short 2.5-point favorite. The Irish are over the number 10 team in the country, Dan.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one because Notre Dame's offense has not been very good in their last three games. At the same time, USC's defense is among the worst in college football. It's why they didn't win the Pac-12 last season or make the college football playoff, despite having the best player in college football and looking like could be one of the best in college football history at quarterback. But they gave up 564 yards to Colorado 2 weeks ago. And then another 506 to an awful Arizona team last week. I get that it went into quadruple overtime, but my God, that's 1,000 yards that they've given up in the last 2 weeks. At the same time, the Trojans won this game last year because they made it a shootout against Notre Dame. And I just don't know how to feel about this game overall. I question if the Fighting Irish are going to show up since their season is effectively over, but I just got to roll with the home team here and the Fighting Irish because I trust USC's defense less than I do Notre Dame's offense. So give me the Fighting Irish under that key field goal mark at 2.5.
Vaughn, how do you see it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know exactly how to feel about this game, and I'm going to take Notre Dame minus 2.5. Like you just said at the end of your point there, Dan, it's under that key number of 3, which I absolutely love. And as much as I love Caleb Williams this season and last season and every season he's been in college football, quite frankly, USC's defense is putrid. It's absolutely terrible. Their defense is number 61 on S&P+, even though their entire team as a whole is number 9 overall. It's hard pressed to find a team that's that high on S&P+ and have a worse defense than USC's. You got to scroll way down to find one that's even close. Meanwhile, Notre Dame, number 10 defense on S&P+, even though they gave up 33 last week to Louisville in that upset loss, Sam Hartman put Notre Dame in a really bad spot, turned it over 5 times, had 3 picks, 2 fumbles. I don't see that happening. I don't even see one turnover happening against this USC defense at home this weekend. So give me Notre Dame to cover and obviously win this game.
I'm going to roll with the Trojans here, taking the points plus 2.5. I think the Irish just kind of look like a shell of themselves. Just nowhere near what we saw, particularly the first couple of games. That game against Navy in Ireland, man, they looked like they were going to be a monster here this year. But I think they're kind of tired out, guys. This is the fourth game of just a brutal stretch that started in the home game against Ohio State, traveled to Duke, traveled to Louisville, now home to USC in their last 4 games. Like, that is a brutal, brutal stretch. And I think they're just going to be really tired out. Like, that USC defense stinks, but Notre Dame's offense is still number 24 S&P+. Not kind of what we expected with Sam Hartman coming over and taking over the offense, and an offense that I think is going to be a little bit tired and a little bit beat up, you know, after last week and what happened against Louisville. And I think USC's offense is just a little too good for Notre Dame to be able to keep up here this week. So I like the Trojans going into South Bend and coming away with the victory, but also covering the 2.5. Finally, I think probably the best game on the docket here this week is happening in the Pac-12. We've got number 8 Oregon visiting number 7 Washington, and the Huskies a 3-point favorite at home, Vaughn.
Yeah, this is the game of the week by far. Really looking forward to seeing how this one plays out. And I am not very confident in this pick whatsoever. I love both of these teams. They're both great against the spread, both obviously undefeated top 10 teams. So just kind of like a default pick, I'm going to go with Washington to cover the three. I really liked this one a lot more as well when it was 2.5, because it was 2.5 earlier this week. But I mean, overall, this is going to be an epic game, guys. I mean, they're so close statistically. Oregon's number 5 SP plus, UW is 6. Washington's number 2 offense, Oregon's number 4. And Oregon's defense is number 20. Washington's is 26. I mean, you can't get much closer than this. So when it boils down to it, I trust Michael Penix at home over Bo Nix on the road. Penix has only thrown 2 interceptions all season, completing about 75% of his passes. So if Washington wins, I got a hunch that we're going to be talking a lot more about Michael Penix as a legit Heisman contender, even though he's already up there. I think he'll kind of have that key Heisman moment if they win this game. So I will take Washington to win and to cover this spread.
Dan, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I said earlier, I'm riding with these big games with the Pac-12 team that's playing at home in these matchups. So I'm going with the Huskies and the 3 points in this one. Oregon already had a close call on the road against Texas Tech. It took a 20-point fourth quarter for them to come back and win. Texas Tech threw 4 picks and missed a field goal in that game. It could have swung the other direction pretty mightily had the ball bounced a different way. Should have won that game probably. Since then, the Ducks went to Stanford and took care of business, but they haven't really played anybody and certainly haven't faced a team like this on the road yet. To be fair, the Huskies haven't had great competition yet this season either, but I feel like they have more weapons on the offensive side of the ball and their defense is good at home as well. So I'm going to ride with Washington, like I said, and also bonus bet, 2 high-powered offenses, 2 quarterbacks that are Heisman candidates. The over is being a little overinflated here. I like the under. Oregon's 5 of their last 6 and Washington's 4 of their last 6 have hit the under. So give me the under and Washington winning this game by at least 3.
You know, kind of going back to Devon's point here, where is the edge? Oregon number 5 SP plus, Washington number 6 offenses. Oregon number 4, Washington number 2 defense. Oregon number 20, Washington number 26 net yards per play. Washington number 1 in the country at 3.7, Oregon number 2 at 3.6. Where the hell is the edge in this game? I truly don't know. And when that's the case, my default is to just go and grab the points. One team's a favorite. One team I get extra points with. This one at the key number of 3. I'm going to grab the Ducks here just because I think these two teams are two of the most evenly matched teams in the country. And I just have to take the points rather than having to cover it by scoring more than 3 than the other team here. So rolling with the Ducks as we go to our final game. Indiana traveling to Michigan. The number 2 Wolverines, 33-point favorites at the Big House, Vaughn.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of analysis for this one. I'm just going to go with Michigan. I mean, if you look at the advanced metrics, guys, I mean, this is going to be a shit show. So I don't think I need to say much more. I'll take Michigan to cover, even though it probably will rain at the Big House this week. I don't really care. I think if anything, that kind of favors Michigan anyways. So I'll take the Wolverines.
Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going with Michigan as well. I know that there might be some fear with those home games earlier this season where we saw similar spreads that Michigan didn't cover, but they just beat Minnesota by 42 and Nebraska by 38. Jim Harbaugh's back coaching this team now. And the Hoosiers, I know they kept up with Ohio State and Louisville already this season, but they also took Akron to 4 overtimes and were crushed by Maryland more recently. Taven Jackson might be the worst quarterback they have faced in Big Ten play so far, and it's not really close. His QBR is 35.8, which is 115th in the country. He's been sacked 6 times in the last 2 weeks, and he's thrown 3 picks to 2 touchdowns. I like Michigan by as about a wide of a margin as you can get in this contest. So give me the Wolverines at home.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Michigan. They're just getting back to their steamrolling form that we saw last year. That's about the analysis that I got for you going up against Indiana. As we move on to the eliminator here this week, we all took Northwestern a week ago. They took business, took care of business against Howard. So we are all still alive as we head to week seven. Who's your eliminator pick this week, Dan?
Yeah, it was getting a little tight because a lot of the teams that we've already picked are playing games that I might have chosen. So I had to go with Penn State actually this week over UMass. I'm really, really confident that Penn State's going to win. So I'm just going to survive in advance here, even though James Franklin, you know, might have made some comments about some different things this week. That's where I'm going.
Vaughn, how about you, man?
Dude, same thing. I'm taking Penn State just because they were the most the team that I'm most confident in this week. And it sucks to use them this early in the season. But I mean, I don't think they're going to lose to UMass, even though James Franklin claims that they're the most high powered offense they will have played all season long. So I will take Penn State.
Boys, I am going to be playing with fire here this week. It's either going to be good or I'm crashing and burning. We're going to Madison and we're taking the Badgers over Iowa in the eliminator here. This is going to be, I'm going to be sweating bullets all day long on Saturday, but I hate that Iowa offense so freaking much that they don't deserve to win. Give me the Badgers at home in Madison. Let's fight.
I absolutely love this, Luke. I'm so glad one of us went with one of these toss-up games. I'm so pumped.
Oh, baby. I don't feel good about it, but that's where we're at. All righty, boys. Dan, where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Dan Plucker. That's P-L-O-C-H-E-R at Dan Plucker.
Vaughn, how about you, man?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. And thank God I picked Wisconsin earlier this year. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Chiardi, LukeGhiardi. Subscribe, rate, leave a review wherever you get your podcast. We appreciate the feedback. That's going to wrap it up going into a great week seven on the Pick'em Pod. For my partners, Vaughn Lozon and Dan Plucker, I'm Luke Chiardi, and we'll see you next week.